Thank you, Lynn, for that song. Such a perfect theme for the morning about letting in the mystery. Letting in the mystery. Well, let's just start by welcoming everyone and just saying a wonderful hello and good morning to all those here in the room and also the Awakening Together radio community out all over the world listening in on the radio. You're a very important part of our community, and I'm really glad you're here. So, welcome. Good morning, Roy. Kathy. Hello, everybody. I'm going to start out with a little song, and I'd like to invite everyone just to write a little bit of welcome on the board or a statement of greeting one another, because that's what we do here at the introduction of the service. We take a few minutes for members and friends to greet one another. So I'm going to play Awakening by David Primal.
The calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Sachidananda, oh,
Yes. Beautiful, wonderful lights and text and inspirational, loving, pure, devotional phrases and expressions of little hearts up on the board. This is a lot of love here, a lot of connection, a lot of amazing feeling of oneness here right now in the room. And that's really, you know, it's really what the statement of purpose is, really what I'm going to read next of Awakening Together, which you can find on our website under the purpose and values about us. And this is what joins us. This is what joins us in purpose. Coming together, you know, which is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize those limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And our purpose is that we are an assembly of equals joined in a common purpose, awakening to one true self. With an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace, which, as we all know, is an experience. It's not a concept. It's not a thought. It doesn't involve a subject and an object. It's an act of truth in the moment of devotion right now. So each of the times we interact with each other and we hear someone coming from a different perspective, or we hear someone reading from a Sufi work or the Bible, we can receive the very same truth. And we don't need to be fundamentalist. We don't need to be judgmental. We can remain open and loving and kind and seeing and accepting of that universal wisdom in all of us. And that's what I love about Awakening Together so much. What I love about everybody here. So let's move on to some announcements. That's the next thing we have here in our list. So there's actually a few announcements here. I'd like to talk about upcoming classes first. MPP is now open for registration. We're starting up with two MPP Introduction to Ministry, actually three remaining sections available for the Intro to MPP class. Tuesday the 2nd is full. Wednesday the 3rd is almost full. And we still have two more sections, the 9th and the 10th. Those can handle 9 people each. And following that, there will be two sections of the True Discernment course being offered, all listed there on the classes section on the website, that one of which David Hemphill, here who's the reader of our service today, and Nikki Dobson will be teaching. It is an 11-week course and is not required to become an Awakening Together minister. You can just take the course if you want. I have taken it and taught one section of the course, and it is a really excellent experience. Discernment is really the key to opening our minds to being able to receive universal truth from all the different sources that we encounter. Coming up next is Dove's class. This is a wonderful class he's got called The Core Message of ACIM. And the purpose is to recognize the core message of the Course in Miracles as interpreted by the participating students. So he's going to ask, like, what is ACIM saying? Like, if it speaks to you, according to what you choose to hear. And especially when you get to the point where you don't need to know more and you're ready to have an actual experience. And it's intended to really shorten the learning curve for people. So if you're in that space and you really want to jump ahead and get to the core message, you're going to really get a lot from being with Dove here. And it meets twice. And it's also going to be, it's coming up on the 8th at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. Now, the upcoming events that we have, the big thing is our retreats, of course, Santa Barbara retreats. And really, Awakened Consciousnesses of Timothy and Magdi and the beautiful music of Kirtana are all going to be a big part of this experience. Now, I'm going to the Satsang retreat, but I'm actually not going to be able to go to the Soak in the Beauty retreat. But that's a wonderful experience of quite a number of days, too, with Regina and Nikki and also Kirtana really soaking in the truth you've just received from the whole event. Now, we've actually surpassed our minimum registrations. We do have 40 people registered for the event now, all going to be there in Santa Barbara, plus 6 staff. Regina is facilitating the event. Nikki and actually Tom Conway will also be staff there, in addition to Kirtana, of course, and Magdi and Timothy. So there'll be closer to probably 50 total actual people there. I do have a couple other announcements regarding the actual Santa Barbara facility. There is going to be no next time in Santa Barbara. That particular retreat center, the Friars have decided to close in December. So, you know, it's the Mission Renewal Center, basically, it's official now. They're not going to be doing any more retreats out of there. So this is pretty much your last opportunity to soak in the amazing environment and love and amazing just feeling you get when you're there. So Regina wanted me to share that with you guys. So another announcement too about the ACIM conference that Regina wanted me to announce. Tony Ponicello was having difficulty accepting registrations over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and none of the ones that have been received in the last 3 or 4 weeks got processed. So if you did sign up in the last 3 or 4 weeks, please do so again. Everything was being processed as spam mail, unfortunately. So that has to be corrected, and I believe he did, so letting everybody know about that. And also, we have a really new, exciting new logo for Awakening Together. It took a lot of getting together and effort and discussion and voting and input from the members. But we have, Lynn has put it up on our community Facebook page, and I've put it up on the radio page. If you go to the Listen Live on Awakening Together Radio, you'll see the beautiful new logo with AT right in the middle. That's kind of our new logo that will be on all of our online presence. In whatever place we can put a logo, we're gonna go ahead and put that up there. And it just shows a beautiful light coming through the middle with people holding hands and just a kind of a neat energy to it. So I hope you guys like it, and I think it's a really, really neat logo. So let's move on now with the next point in our service. And this is a song I have by Kirtana called My Heart.
Like a field of grass on a hill so dry, but the air won't move.
Thank you, Kirtana. Wow, that was beautiful. I was really zoning into my heart. That was wonderful. You know, and it's really connected how our heart is to the mystery of the moment. And when I was meditating and asking Spirit what to speak on and also who to ask for my reader, Spirit said, David Hemphill, for my reader. And so I asked David Hemphill to be my reader, and he said yes. And then I asked, what should we read? And I was guided to the Sufi book that we are currently studying, called The Sufi Book of Life, by an amazing author called Neil Douglas Klotz, to section 30. It's called Subtle Mystery. It is one of the 99 qualities of God. All, of course, summing up to one God, but just different aspects of God. So, turning the mic over to you, David Hemphill, for our inspirational reading, Subtle Mystery, out of the Sufi Book of Life.
Thank you, Jay. The Sufi Book is a very beautiful book. So, if any of you have it, this is page 80. The Subtle Mystery, Al-Latif, that's the name of the God that this is referring to. When you are guided to this pathway, take the opportunity to contact the part of you being, part of your being that reflects and can reflect upon mystery and subtlety. Can you hear me? No, you can't hear me. Okay. In exploring our inner self through the pathways of the heart, we may be tempted to believe that we could one day understand everything. We could explain all miracles if only we could train our senses and feelings to be subtle enough. For instance, by exploring the previous pathways. This pathway and the next, which are often linked, tell us that whatever sensitivity we may develop through our bodies, our nervous systems and senses, whatever self-control we may master, divine mystery will remain. The following quantic meditation expresses this. It says, "My beloved, please ask everyone to notice how the one being sends rain from the sky, and immediately the field's green. The one sight and sense, cannot be fathomed. So subtle, nurturing, mysterious, bringing the seed self of all beings to fruition. Mystery remains an active force in the universe, like a wild card in the game of existence. As the saying goes, this could be good news or bad news, depending on how your life is going at the moment. All other things being equal, the Sufi usually opts for mystery. As Rumi says, be empty of what you think you know. That's why Muhammad said, fools will take up most of paradise. Your clever mind just whips up a dust storm of pride. Allow yourself to be fooled and peace clowns its way into your heart. If your head would shatter and wonder at what reality really is, reason's tyranny would end, and every hair on your head would become an oracle. Perhaps life is calling you right now to contemplate subtlety and mystery, and to stand in awe of the one reality of life. Don't try to explain things. Just add wonder and gratitude. When we begin to see with the eyes of Latif, everything around us seems to have its own uniquely beautiful secret place inside. And Allah protects Allah's secret in us all." That is the end of this section. So I will turn over the mic for Jay to lead us away. Here you go.
Thank you, David. And that's really what it is a mystery that we can't understand. And I went ahead and looked up mystery in the Webster's New Collegiate Dictionary. And it says, a religious truth that man can know by revelation alone and cannot fully understand. And cannot fully understand. And Kathy's saying she did too look up some mystery in the dictionary. And what's interesting about letting in the mystery that I've found, coming from a sort of intellectual background, I have a giant rack of books behind me. I studied for many years in a different organization, and they gave me what they call the Doctorate of Divinity. So that meant that I was very smart and knew a lot about a lot of things. But when you really get down to the truth of it, does any of my knowledge really matter? Does the act of me saying I know something do anything more than, as the subtle mystery describes in the poem, stir up a dust storm of pride? A dust storm of pride. Because as soon as I say I know something, I'm not letting in the mystery. I'm saying I'm done. I'm saying I'm going to go with this preset agenda that I've come up with into this situation, into this conversation, into this life situation, into a parking spot. If I think I see a parking spot, maybe there's one elsewhere. Maybe if I just remain open, I could be guided to one even closer. And so how is it that I have dealt with all this book learning that I have accumulated? I've definitely gone through a lot of periods of pride. I've been called arrogant by other people before. Not lately, thankfully. And I think I was arrogant for a period of time. And what I really appreciate about my studies in Awakening Together with Regina, with all of the teachers here, is the emphasis on moving to the self as the teacher, the holy self, the corrected aspect of the mind, the intuition, the direct connection to the divine. And what's the way into my heart? What I find is that after I move through a period of, maybe you could say, arrogance of thinking I knew, having great answers to things, I was, for a period of my life, I was giving probably 2 to 4, sometimes 6 lectures a month in different places. Really, really being up in front of people, saying things, sounding smart. It was mostly metaphysical types of lectures. It wasn't so much divine and spiritual. It was metaphysical. It was showcasing knowledge I thought I had. I was not yet empty. And then moving through a period of time where I began to surrender, began to let some of these defenses down, which is really what my intellectual knowledge is. It's a defense. It's a fear-based defense. It's saying, I want to put this in front of the mystery. I don't want to trust the mystery. The growth, the seeds, the plants sprouting up of newness, of renewal, can't ever occur in that environment. So as this surrender process occurred within me, and as a greater and greater willingness to enter into the mystery moved into me, I began to learn how to let go a lot more. Let go of thoughts that I thought I know, and just let them go and remain present. Let them go and remain present. And maybe that's why this current study of the Sufi path is really resonating with me, because there's a lot of energy that I'm moving through right now that it's very much into the surrender and the devotion and not wanting to be right or know a lot, just to be simple, just to be connected. You know, I was paging through the Bhagavad Gita looking for thoughts about mystery recently in preparation for today, just a little bit of preparation. I was kind of guided to do that. And the Bhagavad Gita talks about the idea that we dwell in a greater reality. Whether you think it's your body or your thoughts or your mind, that we dwell in a giant sea of this mystery. And that we're all floating around, connected in this giant mystery. And that it's an immortal, it's an eternal mystery. It's not something we ever have to worry about ending, or dying, or going away. And just as the reading talked about, this mystery isn't found in the loud or in the flashy. It's found inside. It's the inner self. You know, if you contemplate the ending of the I thought, by practices like Ramana Maharshi talks about, asking who is the I who's asking that, when you start practicing those things, when you start really contemplating and letting go of that sense of I, fears come up. Fears of annihilation come up. As a matter of fact, everything but peace comes up. But as I've been practicing the repeated witness consciousness of observing the fears, what happens is it fades away in just usually a matter of minutes, and I come right back to that point of peace. And the more I think, another thought comes up about something I think I need, especially planning ahead. And Regina's been a great teacher for me in not so much pointing out to me when I'm planning ahead, but just simply not responding to the thoughts I try to communicate with her about planning ahead. And that's really taught me a lot, because she doesn't give energy to thoughts like that. And there's a lot of us, and it helps me to practice just staying in the moment, to that present moment guidance, because we don't really know exactly how it's going to happen. Let me switch just for a moment to a different sound source. Hold on. I don't know if that's any better. I hope it is. I switch to just the headset versus stereo mix. And so what is it that causes the greatest growth for me? What is it that causes the greatest growth in my being in the mystery, in my... Thank you, David. What is it that causes the greatest growth? Not that we should be concerned with investigating our growth, because that's one of the recent paths that was discussed in the Sufi Book of Life, which was digging into the seed that's been planted to investigate your progress and thus preventing further progress from occurring. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about just a simple, direct shortcut. Just like this beautiful poem that David read. Fools will take up most of paradise. Fools will take up most of paradise. Because know-it-alls, see, they can't be in paradise. Because paradise is not a place for a know-it-all. They can't make it in there, because they already know too much. I have to be a fool. Like the tarot, the fool, the first card in the tarot deck, the one who is just completely open to mystery. And what I've noticed is the intellectual knowledge I've studied and the books I've read and all these things, when I stay open to the mystery, it's not that this knowledge, quote-unquote information, more like, goes away, but it comes to me on an as-needed basis. Thoughts will enter my mind from a holy work or something I've studied or from the Course in Miracles right when it's important and relevant to me on a need-to-know basis, as if given to me by someone else, trusting that I will be given what to say at the moment I need to say it. That's why I do not plan for, in terms of scripting out what I'm going to say when I get up to the mic. And I encourage everyone, whoever speaks on Gather, or as I said, I'm still calling it Gather, Awakening Together, it is best not to prepare. And the funnest thing is to actually get up in front of a group of people live without preparation. That's the funnest thing. That's a lot of fun. It's the living mystery. Because those waves, they just come and they give you what to say. And it's beautiful. You know, the tyranny in our mind that the poem speaks of is referring to reason. And reason is always a dictator. Reason's always the part of our mind that comes in very aggressively and says, you know what, this person did you wrong. This person stole money from you. In fact, recently I got shorted $830 some odd from an employer. And my initial reason response would be to file a small claims lawsuit against these people to get my money out of them, because they shorted me money that was due to me. And even a little anger came up in me. These are the dictates of reason. This is what the conscious thinking mind wants to do. Try to control and take over the situation. And so I had a choice to make. I could just try to go for this legal path, try to get this money out, or I could just simply let it go. And I opted to let it go. Because part of the lesson of that job for me was to let go of my desire for physical success and to measure my life's success in terms of any monetary or physical way. That I sort of knife myself in the back, so to speak, when I try to go about my life and try to succeed in some kind of way. So when I turned over to Spirit, more and more choices in my life, Spirit doesn't necessarily bring me something that I experience as feeling good. And that's not because love isn't the true nature of our being. Love is the true nature of our being. What Spirit brought to me was something that put me in confrontation with my blocks to it. So how is it that I let in the mystery when you're shorted money, or a loved one dies, or you are rejected by someone, or an urge or feeling comes up within you that you have deemed bad, or an emotion towards someone that you don't think is correct? We can judge that. We can let the tyranny of reason rule our mind and proceed to try to fight it, fight ourselves, fight others. And that those urges could be the anger, the wanting to get back. It could be a lustful urge. It could be jealousy, hatred even. And we have to come back to the moment. We have to be with what it is that's arising. And make that choice right now to be with the truth of the moment and let ourselves just feel it without giving energy to it. And what happens, and this is from my own experience, and I know from many of you's experience here, is that it just proceeds to pass. And we can once again listen to the subtle mystery, the storm, the tyranny passes. Because every tyrannical ruler cannot rule over you if you do not follow that tyrannical ruler. If we just wander back as a fool, as a complete fool, into the mystery, throw our book learning to the wind, because it was useful for us to paddle across the shore of the river to the other side. But once we're on the other side of the shore, do I need to keep trying to paddle while I'm on land? I don't need to keep doing that. Put the paddle down into the canoe and start walking. You're already on the other side. You don't need the paddle anymore. I don't need the canoe anymore. And so what's next? That's the question. What's next? That's what the mind is going to want to do. What do I have to do now? Got to come up with a plan. I'm on the other side of the river. I don't need to be... Well, I'm scared all of a sudden. If I don't need that book learning anymore, and I can just live in the mystery, wait a minute. Does that mean I'll never read another book? Some people feel guided not to read books. Some, you don't really need to. You can. I still do. Not as much. But there's another choice. There is another choice right at that moment. Be here now. The thought itself is the problem. And that's all it's got to be, is just a thought. This thought of, what do I do now? This thought of, what do I do in the future? I got to make a plan here. I got to get myself together. I got to make this happen. That is the problem. And I can just choose again. Just choose again. Wonder, awe, gratitude. That which Spirit reveals to me that is beyond my perception is the real truth. The flashes of awakening. The dawning of the new awareness. The love when I'm seemingly attacked. The acceptance where I would have thought I was rejected. The acceptance where I have thoughts and feelings that I would deem bad and not worthy and make me a horrible person. I no longer go with that. I accept. They just pass through like nothing. And I'm right back to the peace. And they have less power over me in the future. And the tyranny of our thinking mind has less power. And the subtle, the quiet, the loving, the peaceful becomes more powerful, becomes the guiding force. And so let's connect with that mystery as an active force. Just as Kathy quoted on the board and is written here in the book, it's the wild card in the game of existence. You know, it's something that can be really exciting when mystery is wonderful. But when we're facing an unknown situation and we have attachment to results and expectations, mystery can be scary. It's a two-edged sword. It's either way, just as we've been talking about here. So it's an opportunity to surrender in either case. We can either cooperate with it or fight it. And even if we do fight it, it's okay, because we can just choose right over, all over again. We can just choose right again. Right there. To be here. To be here. To be here. To be here. Let the dust storm of pride pass by. Let myself be the fool, the clown. And let love that makes no sense whatsoever just enter into me. It makes no sense. You can't explain it. There's no logical explanation. I can't scientifically prove it. It just is, and it's wonderful. If we can just trust that, then just as the poem says, every thought, every hair of our head that comes forth from that space is filled with absolute truth and wisdom, is the perfect thing to say, is the perfect thing to do that brings healing, because it is not us that's doing it, it's Spirit through us. Every hair on our head is an oracle. Everything that comes from us in that space of connection is beautiful and perfect. And you are a true teacher. And you bring the calm and the love into situation. And it's just there. Undisturbed peace. You smile. Undisturbed. It becomes powerful, an active force. Something that's tangible, that can't be taken away. So let's give the power to the mystery in our lives, right here, choosing again over and over. And let's let that self die. Let's let that sense of I go. Dieth daily. Dieth daily. And no, it's not always an easy path. Facing our blocks is not easy. It seems difficult at the time. But the hope is, and the practice is, and more we practice it, the more faith and trust we have in it, that we can just choose again right there. Go right back to the mystery. All the things we've judged that we think are horrible and nasty and unworthy about ourselves, that are just scum, none of that's true. None of it's true. The Course in Miracles teaches us that true humility would not ask that we remain little, but that we accept our greatness. But it's not a greatness that comes from our small self. It's a greatness that comes from what we already are. From what we already are. And so now we're entering into a time of the service where we can have some open contemplation and meditation. So let's just take a minute of silence, and we just go within, and let's be together. Let's all be in communication with each other right now. And just take a minute to be in the mystery, or we close our eyes and we just sort of sit and be. And just be. And let's just let everything be crazy and not make any sense, and let's just let our reason go, and let's just be in that illogical place of just loving each other right now, just for a little while. And let's just be with that. Amen. And I just want to share that I felt such great love for each and every one of you here as I was in that moment of just closing my eyes and being in that mystery and trusting the flow of the moment. And I just felt such love for everyone here and everyone on the radio, everyone in the world. So I'd like to open it up for anyone that wants to share a thought or an insight that they had, because we're going to move into a time of open sharing now. Am I on track for the schedule? I don't know if I am or not. It's 10 o'clock now. I think I am. Yes, Dove says. Kathy, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Please take the mic.
First of all, Jay, I thought you did a really great job. I thoroughly was engaged with you from the beginning, and you know, appreciate your honesty and your message and the sharing from the Sufi Book of Life. It's not one that I am familiar with. I think I noticed that it was on the MPP list some time back, but have not, you know, made any efforts to pick it up and read it or anything of the sort. But your sharing so touched me today, and I can't imagine that I wouldn't want to go forward and take that class, just because, you know, that the little bit that you did share was just, I don't know, so beautifully written and just touched me in such an interesting way. I'm just asking to contemplate the idea of, you know, mystery and subtlety. that just, you know, I can't imagine that kind of instruction coming up within my own everyday mind. And so I will take that, you know, very seriously. But I like the, I guess you would call definition of mystery, a wild card in the game of existence. And this morning in my time with the Untethered Soul, I shared a bit at the very beginning that I am in the other class right now that is speaking to the idea of ordinary life, living an ordinary life and being connected to the Tao Te Ching, somewhere in the 60s, like 63, 64, 65, speaks of this idea of the master being within ordinary life, and remembering to be centered, remembering where the Christ is within. And so this idea of mystery, a wild card in the game of existence, I get that it is a game of existence. I mean, there is some sense of or understanding that this is all a game, this is all illusion, yet because my mind is still split, I still think I'm here. And so the mystery is that wild card that can be introduced into my mistaken mind that brings something fresh, something new, something from the I don't know position. And so lately I have really tried to stay in the I don't know, because truly I don't know. I don't even know what that means. That's why it's a mystery. And I just wanted to share just those ideas. And the last one I really liked was that peace clowns its way into your heart. I just loved that. It seemed so lighthearted, so, you know, laughter involved with the idea of clowning around and just, you know, not taking it all so seriously. And so I truly look forward to this, the Sufi book. And thank you for sharing that this morning. You guys did a great job. Thanks, David, for reading that so well. I enjoyed it. I'll let the mic go.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And I hear your devotion and your sincerity, and I too have had many amazing openings with the Tao and had a very powerful release and healing experience around that time with Jesus' hand coming in and touching my heart, and a lot of ancient pain being released from my mind. It was a pretty powerful time, loosening the grip of the tyranny of reason that my mind had upon myself, and indeed the sort of replacing it with a relaxed, trusting, fun, clowning, just ease of love in the moment. And I'd like to, again, invite additional thoughts. We have a little bit more time here, about 20 minutes or so, for some additional sharing. Does anyone else want to share their experience with the mystery? Right now also, please go to the, if you desire to and you feel so led, we appreciate your donation to go online to drop down the menu there, and Barb put up a link. We'll put up a link. We do exist off of donations, so if you do feel so moved to do so, please do. And so I'd really like to open up the mic to see if anyone else wants to share on their experience of mystery. Maybe someone has had a challenge with mystery. Maybe somebody has had a difficult time in their heart feeling like they can let go into that mystery, into that intuitive trust, into that space. Dove, I take the mic.
All right, thank you so much, Jay and Kathy. Thank you so much for the sharing, David. for the reading. Everyone's here. Yeah, the word trust, which is the last word you basically said, Jay, is really what I think that Jesus is really leading us to. The idea that the world where we live in is not our home, but one that we made. We kind of made it in a way to deceive a world that was basically where you're born, you live, and you die. And as Reverend Wayne still says, then you're born, you live, and you die. And just keep on repeating it. And somehow we know that there's something more than this thing that meets our eyes, our body's eyes and ears. And Jesus says, yes, go deeper, go deeper. But in order to go deeper, you have to give up your controls, the thing that we hold on to, such as, you know, what I think I see is what I experience. And after all, there is a reason to fear, because I may not be here anymore. What I discovered basically is that as long as we think we need to learn anything in this world, we always will try and get more in order so that I can finally learn the secret of remembering the truth. And the exact opposite is what Jesus is teaching. You don't need anything more. You already have everything. And it's that willingness to actually know what our purpose is not to find something in this world, not to get something in this world, not to save myself, because God's Son is already saved. That's what Jesus taught us. The meaning of the crucifixion was never the crucifixion. The meaning is the resurrection. So he says, you know, you already have accomplished everything. You were with me when I rose. We have overcome this world. So it's not about learning more. It's about unlearning everything that we thought we had to learn. And I think that opens up a whole window, a whole doorway opens up for us to just enter into trust. And as you say, Jay, as you come to the microphone and you don't have anything prepared, you're just trusting that Spirit is speaking to you and through you. And that's really what trust is. T-R-U-S-T is an acronym for to rely upon Spirit totally, to know that you're not alone. Because if you are alone, if you are the doer, it is very difficult, because it's very difficult to let go of my defenses, my controls. But when I am willing to just say, I do not know exactly as Kathy said, but I'm willing to trust that my Father knows the way home. As a matter of fact, I don't have to learn the way to Him. He knows the way to me. But all I have to do is open up all the doors and windows. Trust. Thank you so much, Jay. The mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Dove. Kathy, your mic.
Thank you for sharing that, Dove. Also, you know, for me, this idea of mystery, it feels like one of the, you know, like an abstract word in its own way. I guess, and as I've had to maybe contemplate it or look at it a little bit more closely, from my Catholic upbringing, mystery was to me this idea that it wasn't of me. It was something separate from me. It was a God-ism. It was something that was of God, and God, I did not see myself as the same as God, being that I was a part of God. I saw myself as separate from, clearly. And so this idea of mystery, which I heard, you know, over the years, I felt very disconnected from that idea. It had nothing to do with me. I was simply being told that, you know, it was a mystery, and you're not ever going to understand that. It's not of you. It's of God, and truly it is of God. Yet the difference now is that mystery is revealed to me. it is revealed to me. That's what revelation is. It comes from beyond a present state of I know, which is a state of I don't know in truth, because I don't know what that mystery is, but I do know, and I do have faith that with my openness, that is what is revealed to me, the mystery. And so it's been a slow change to find myself even in a place where mystery is a comfortable word, something that I can even, you know, it's even worth thinking about. I hope that makes sense to you guys, and so I'm going to give up the mic with that.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. That's such a beautiful and important point you bring up. I mean, there's a lot of points that were being made here. I see your hand, Barb. I just want to speak for a quick minute, and then I'll turn it over to you. When the thought of fearless spirit living in the mystery, on the one hand, where if I'm truly living in the mystery, I am willing to dieth daily. Because the part of me that's the false self, that's the personal self, that's the I, is nothing but a collection of beliefs and ideas. It is nothing real. So in letting go of a single idea that you think that I was never good at talking to people. And so, because you believe that, you isolate yourself. Maybe one day you say, you know what, maybe I don't want to believe that anymore. Maybe I want to surrender that idea to God. And then you find yourself living in the mystery and starting to talk to people where you couldn't before. That's an example of the fearless spirit that it takes to be courageous to face your fears. Because living in the mystery is a path beyond your fears. It isn't a path of avoidance of your fears, which just reinforces the thought that the world can hurt you. It's a living in the reality that the world cannot hurt you, that absolutely cannot hurt you. And the thought also that Kathy shared that related to a reaction to the word mystery itself, and I have a lot of Catholic family, and I understand a lot about what they teach regarding mystery, and that's in fact the second definition in the book, in the dictionary. It says, any of the 15 events, as the Nativity, the Crucifixion, the Assumption, serving as a subject for meditation during the saying of the Rosary. That second definition is a Catholic definition. And that's a mechanical spiritual practice, and many may actually get benefit out of that. And there are as many paths to God. There is as many doorways to God as there are people. But what Kathy is sharing is a feeling of disconnection from the practice. And what's interesting and what I love about reading different scriptures, like this book from the Sufis, is it's a totally different viewpoint that I don't have guards up against. I don't have any pre-established judgments against Sufis. So my mind is more naturally open, and I can read it and it sinks in deeper. And what's interesting is I've let go of now a lot of judgments about Jesus and the Christian church and all that, and I was able to have a really powerful experience with a course that, it's just a two-week course that Regina taught called Jesus of the New Testament, which gave me a radically different way of sort of reading the Bible. And I had some pretty powerful experiences, and several of us did in class actually, that surprised me. So there is hope that you can actually get out of those deeply held judgments against words that come from our Christian background, which is, I know all of you have had your own release moments with those, but it's just, I'm just so grateful that, you know, we can actually get out of that, because it's so entrapping. It's so, I don't know what the right word is to say. It's just so debilitating sometimes to have these judgments, these, you know, these negative religious past experiences. It's just so great to just let them go. Yeah, it's so great. But I've babbled on for quite a while here, and I would like to hear what Barb has to say. Barb, your mic.
Thanks, Jay. I know we are getting close to the end of our time, but I know that when I was at the Choose Again retreat, hope you can all hear me too, so, but I was at the Choose Again retreat back in May, and I shared this before, but I did the holotropic breathing when I was there, and I know you, Jay, have done that probably several times, but when I was in that experience of the holotropic breathing, I actually got to that point where I was on the top of this kind of cliff of a mountain, looking down into something like what I would call the Grand Canyon, and it was like I was there with myself, my big S self, and big S self was saying to me, "Look out there in the canyon, like it's just miles and miles beyond what you can even see," and it was like, "Look down there. This is the mystery. You know, this is your life." And, you know, it's like, it was like, welcome this. and so I, you know, and part of that experience was also, was to remind me that I was always provided for. So I really, it was kind of like I've heard the word mystery, but to actually have the breathing experience with it being shown to me, and of course shown to me, we know that it's mystery. It's not something that has four corners and can be explained. But it was a very wonderful experience, and kind of like breaking down those barriers to accepting what is. Excuse me. And Kathy, truly, it is always in the mystery. So I'm going to go with the mic because we're getting closer to the end of the time. But that was my experience, and that is a much more... got me choked up. No. But I really appreciate the topic this morning, Jay, because this was very close to my heart. Because it's certainly much more of a place I'm living in now than ever before in my whole life, this mystery of what is now. Thank you so much. Here we go.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you feedback, Barb, that I definitely, I've known you several years now, and I can definitely see and feel that what you're saying is definitely true within you. There is, I think, a lot of shift that I see with you with living in the mystery and being in that acceptance of the moment, and I know in me, too, it has shifted in both of us and in many, many of us here and in the larger community. And it's just beautiful to see. It's beautiful to be a part of. And I know that because I'm seeing it, that it's in me. You know, if I'm seeing release and perfection in others, I know that that's because I've accepted it into my mind. Because we can always only see what's in our own minds. If I accept love in me, I'm going to see that in everyone I meet. And yeah, the work, the daily work of practicing that mystery, that present moment... The moment we're faced with it, just like Dove said, it's a fearless practice. It isn't always pleasant. It's like the path of a Jedi warrior is not an easy one. Qui-Gon Jinn said that to his Padawan learner. You face fears living in the moment. To be here right now, to be in truth, I have to let go of my ideas. And that very self wants to fight for existence. It wants to fight for its survival. It goes by a thousand names and shows up in a thousand forms. And in each of those thousand forms that false self shows up in, each one of them is an opportunity to me to just simply let it go and to choose again and be in that mystery, to be that fool once again, to be the path of the Sufis is one of surrender, one of repeated surrender. Over and over and over again. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Let the self go, let the self go. You know, when we're looking at a tree, and there's a tree that grows outside my window here in my condo. And I've been here at this condo going on almost 5 years now. And this tree has grown just in the time that I've lived here, over a 4-year period. At first it was a very small tree that probably had 700 or 800 leaves. And then a few years passed, it was maybe another 5 or 6 feet taller, and it had probably 1,500 or 2,000 leaves. And now it's going on almost 5 years since I've lived here. This is December of 2009 is when I moved here, so 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, yeah, when I get to end of November of this year, that'll be 5 full years. This tree, probably if we counted them, probably has, who knows, 8,000 to 10,000 leaves on it. Now, if we look at this tree and say, that tree has become so much greater. Look, these branches are growing out in all these directions. There's all these additional leaves that appear on this tree. Where did they come from? There's new leaves being created out of nowhere. Well, if the tree has 100 leaves, or the tree has 10,000 leaves, it's still just one tree. Because if you look down to the bottom of the tree, you'll see that there's just one trunk coming up out of the ground. Just one. Not 10,000 trunks, one trunk. And the growth of these additional leaves that show up on these branches is just a beautiful unfolding and expansion of the beauty of the expression of the one tree. So no matter what these ways in which everything seems to appear in my life, it's important for me to remember that it's all just stemming from the same one place. There's only one of us here. We're all really actually looking at each other, looking at ourselves. My thought of forgiveness and living in the mystery does more than I may ever know to heal what I call the world. And I don't ever have to leave my condo. Not to say that that's what I do. If so guided, I would do that. But the point is, you don't have to do anything to fix the world. I can just heal my mind and let everyone be benefited. And I have no idea where it's going to show up. It could be anywhere. But I just know in the deepest part of my heart that by me facing those ideas and letting them go, prejudices, fears about people, about how they may act, fears of and judgments of my own thoughts, that just letting them go is the key. And so let's play a song and let's wrap up. And thank you for the wonderful leaves, Larry. It's beautiful. And Dove for all your comments. And Barb and Kathy for participating. And everyone else here that participated and everyone out on the radio. I'm going to play a song. This is our closing song called The End of Me by Jason Gray.
This is just the end. Don't be
Oh, that was wonderful. Love that song. This was a great experience, and thank you for all your wonderful comments. And I feel like Spirit is through me and is through us all. And I see such wonderful perfection in every single person here. And Lynn, thank you too. And Meadow and everyone here. It was wonderful. Thank you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.